Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. I want to spend probably about four Sunday evenings looking at the first verse of Matthew 7. Very, very well known verse. Telling the prayer meeting folk on Wednesday, I spotted a quotation from Tony Benn, of all people, the late Tony Benn, in which he was quoting this verse. Just the other day, there was a list of quotations, and it was in connection with John Prescott committing adultery. And what did Tony Benn think about it? The journalist asked him, and he said, "I'm not going to say, because it says, 'Judge not, that you be not judged.'" Well, there you go. We're going to think about that, God willing, for a few weeks. What does it mean? Verse 1 of Matthew 7. Judge not, or do not judge, or you too will be judged. I just want to look this evening at the first part. Do not judge, Jesus says. Do not judge. This is probably one of the most frequently transgressed commandments in the Bible. Do you agree? It's probably one of the commandments that is broken more than just about any other, especially by Christians. Jesus has a few commandments like that. He tells us, for example, do not be faithless, but believe. I guess that's another commandment that's broken an awful lot. Don't be faithless. We are faithless, often. Or when he says, do not worry, I think that's another commandment that's broken an awful lot. And this is another one like it. Do not judge. I want to try and begin to understand what this commandment means tonight. What does it mean when Jesus says, do not judge? And I want to ask us, do we take it seriously? Because it's a commandment that's repeated in all kinds of different ways, especially in the New Testament. Now, I've found over the years that Christians often think that judging is something that they're entitled to do. It's something that they ought to do. It's something that they think is important to do. That Christians have the opinion that they themselves have received the light and have got the answers, and therefore they can go about criticizing. They can go about exposing darkness. Having got a new understanding, which is what we receive when we become Christians, we can pass judgment on other people's behavior. Having repented of sins, we can condemn other people's sins. I think Christians often make that mistake. The temptation is especially there for new Christians. New Christians, when suddenly everything seems bright and everything seems clear, and the gospel, which they didn't understand before, suddenly becomes something that they really do understand, and they wonder why everyone else doesn't understand it. And the sins that they were committing that they've stopped doing, and they see everyone else is still doing them, they feel that they should start putting everyone else right, and that they should start preaching at everyone else about the wrongs that they're doing. And it's something that's a temptation too for Christian leaders, Christian ministers. We can easily take the position, I'm a minister, I'm a Christian, I've studied the Bible, I have the answers, I know what the answers are, I do the right thing, I know God, and you're wrong. That's, I think, something, sadly, that is very much a mistake and a fault of many Christians. No, we mustn't be like that. We mustn't think like that. And the reason is here, Jesus says, do not judge. In Jesus' day, judging was probably the besetting sin of the church. It was the sin that stood out most, certainly among the Pharisees. They were busy going around judging all the time, and it sickened much of the society. They didn't like it. If it was a besetting sin of the church in Jesus' day, or at least part of the church, it's a besetting sin for some Christians too today, and it's a besetting sin for some churches and denominations today as well. We judge. We judge too easily. We break this commandment. So what does it mean? Well, it's perhaps easier, first of all, to say what it doesn't mean. And Jesus is not saying to us here, don't have any opinions about right and wrong. He's not saying that, because the Bible is full of teaching about what's right and what's wrong. And he's also saying not to have any opinions about whether someone's behaviour or our own behaviour is right or wrong, when we know clearly whether it is right or wrong. Like, for example, in John chapter 8, the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Well, she was with a man, but he wasn't her husband. She had a husband, but that was not the man she was with. She was clearly committing adultery, so you could make that decision, judgment, if you like. She was committing adultery. But that's not what this is about. James, who has a lot to say in this area of teaching about judgment, in chapter 5 of James, he says, if any one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's a beautiful promise. So, if someone should wander from the truth, someone brings them back. If you're going to bring them back, you've got to realise that they've wandered from the truth. In other words, you've got to make some kind of judgment about the fact that they've gone wrong. You've got to recognise they've gone wrong in order to bring them back from where they're wrong. So, when Jesus says do not judge, he doesn't mean you don't have any opinions about what's right or wrong, or you don't recognise wrong when it's staring you in the face. That's not what he's talking about. What does he mean? In Luke's Gospel, Luke also has this verse, chapter 6 of Luke, and verse 37. Luke says, or records Jesus saying, do not judge, and you will not be judged. And then he adds a parallel saying, do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Now, if these two parts of the verse are parallel, then judging is the same as condemning. And that is what Jesus is particularly concerned that his people should not do. For example, the Pharisees. On one occasion they saw Jesus and the other and his disciples. They were picking and eating corn as they walked through a field on the Sabbath day. Nothing wrong with that, you might say, but the Pharisees thought they're working on the Sabbath. You're picking corn, you're winnowing it, and that's work. And so they condemned the disciples for doing that. Jesus said of them, this is Matthew 12, verse 7, he said, that they were condemning the innocent. He said, that's something you shouldn't be doing. It's what he's saying here. Do not judge. They were condemning the innocent, finding fault. They were busybodies, finding fault, pronouncing guilt in other people. That's what Jesus is directing us to avoid. He's saying, don't go around passing judgments. Don't go around having the attitude that you have a right to put other people right. Don't put yourself above people, maybe not consciously, but in reality, by saying, you know, you shouldn't be doing that, and you mustn't do that, and that's not the right way, and going around just fixing everyone. do not condemn. Let's go into this in a bit more detail. And I'm going to use a four-letter word to help you remember. If you're going to obey Jesus' command, do not judge, then you will not judge people by four things. You will not judge them by a single testimony. You'll not judge them by your prejudices. You'll not judge them by their appearances or by their motives. Spells out the word spam. It's the best I could do, I'm sorry. But spam. I mean, spam, if you think of spam as something in a tin, you probably think of something unpleasant. Although some people are great fans of spam, it's very unpleasant to be judged as well. Or if you're computer literate and you think of spam as something you really don't want in your email inbox, and how unpleasant it is when people are spamming your email, it's very unpleasant to be judged as well. So think of spam. What Jesus is teaching here, we can summarize by these four points. First of all, he's telling us, do not judge by, and this is the S of spam, a single testimony. A single testimony. There's a commandment in Deuteronomy 19 verse 15, and it's repeated right through the Bible. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now that's something that's generally used throughout the world in law courts, because it makes sense. When it's your word against mine, who's to say who's telling the truth? But it also comes into the matter of gossip. When someone comes and passes on some gossip to you, you've got one testimony, okay? One testimony. You cannot pass that on without judging. Because the Word of God says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter will be established. But if someone comes and passes on a word of gossip to you, that's one testimony. You can't judge whether that's right or wrong. You mustn't judge the person the gossip's about on the basis of one testimony. And then if someone else comes with the same bit of gossip, you may realise that they both come back to the same one person who spread the gossip. That's still one testimony. You need at least two independent pieces of testimony before you can begin to think that something may be accurate. Now, our community gets this wrong all the time. And we had an example there a few days ago of someone had apparently jumped off the bridge. And it went round the community like wildfire and it hadn't happened. Or someone else had died. And it went round the community like wildfire and it hadn't happened. Just recent examples. Because someone, somewhere, or actually lots of people, judged by one witness. If we didn't do that, gossip wouldn't spread and do the damage and cause the upset that it does. So there's the S of spam. It's very simple, really. If we pass judgment on someone on the basis of one testimony, we're breaking this commandment. You cannot judge on the basis of a single testimony. It's quite simple and it's common sense. In fact, a lot of this is very much common sense. And you'll see that more when I come in more detail to it next week. The second thing, though, the P of spam, is you can't judge by prejudices either. And this time I'm thinking about your prejudices or my prejudices. There were lots of prejudices about in Jesus' day. And Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 8, verse 18, he says, consider carefully how you listen. Consider how you listen. And I've often pondered what he meant by that. But I think one thing he means is, you know, when you're listening to someone, especially if it's someone who's giving teaching about God, watch that you don't reject what they're saying because of your prejudice against them. Now, the Pharisees did that to Jesus. The Pharisees believed, This is John 7:52. A prophet does not come out of Galilee. Jesus came out of Galilee. Therefore, Jesus couldn't be a prophet. That was their prejudice. They were wrong in their prejudice. And they couldn't hear or benefit from Jesus because of their prejudice. So, if we come along expecting that someone can't bring any useful information or teaching or truth or benefit to us because of who they are, whatever it may be, how they're dressed, or, well, I'll come to that in a minute, or, you know, just some prejudice we have against the kind of people they are, we're judging. We're judging by our own prejudices. And we all have prejudices. Some of those prejudices are inculcated in us when we're kids. And, you know, they may be completely irrational. You know, we may have had a very unpleasant experience at school. And that means we're against education completely. But that's irrational. We may have found that certain kind of person, like maybe a particular policeman who lived next door to us, wasn't a very nice policeman. And so we've got this prejudice against all policemen, as though all policemen are bad just because one was bad. You know, prejudice comes easily. Jesus says if we judge by prejudice, we're breaking his commandment here. So that's the S and the P. Single testimony, prejudice. Third thing is appearances. Don't judge by appearances. Jesus says that quite plainly. John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance. That's what Jesus says. And we read in James chapter 2 of an example of that. So, Sunday evening in the Calvary Church building. And in comes someone, well, someone pulls up outside in their Bentley. And the chauffeur opens the door and lets them out. And they come into the church and we're all over them. Some wealthy person, you know. That's judging by appearance. A person is not a better person because they look smart or wealthy or whatever other outward sign we may take. Because goodness is to do with the heart, isn't it? Someone may be dress well and be bad, or they may be dressed shabbily and be good. So James 2 verse 2, suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? That's what James says. Judges with evil thoughts. So whenever we look at someone and form an opinion about them just from the way they look, we're breaking Jesus' command here. And actually it's pretty strong. We're becoming judges with evil thoughts. That's not good. In the church in Corinth, there were some people that dismissed the Apostle Paul on the same basis. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 10, they said, in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. They looked at Paul and said, he's just a wee guy. And, you know, he doesn't have any kind of celebrity aura about him at all. And they wouldn't listen to him. They wouldn't take teaching from him, even though this man had been a witness of the risen Jesus, had seen visions and revelations, and knew more about the mysteries of the kingdom of God than perhaps any other person on the earth. But because he was just a wee man and didn't look that impressive, they wouldn't listen. Judging by appearance. So we ask ourselves, you know, when we look at people, do we see the car they're driving? Do we see the disability? Do we see the clothes that they're wearing? or do we see the person? So judging by appearance is something that is commanded against here. That's the A, appearances. The M of spam, you may have guessed, is judging by motives. Can we judge other people's motives? Do you know what my motives are for standing up here this evening? Do you know what your own motives are for being here this evening? You might have a wee bit of an idea, but actually, none of us really knows our own motives very clearly. But we easily judge others by motives. What we often do is we say, you know, maybe say we're sitting at a table having a meal and we're kind of getting a bit full and we think everyone else must be getting a bit full too. And we think to ourselves, you know, if I were to eat another helping of that pudding, I would be being greedy. And then the person next to us takes another helping of the pudding. And we think, greedy so-and-so. But, you know, how do we know that they are being greedy? Just because we think we'd be being greedy. Maybe actually they're really hungry. Maybe they've just got a bigger stomach than you. So we can't judge people thinking, well, my motive if I did that would be bad, therefore they're doing it, it must be bad for them too. You can't judge motives. You just can't do it. Because you can't see, and we'll say more about this next week, you can't see into your friend's heart. You can't see what's going on, what it is that's really moving them to do something. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 4, he says, therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and he will expose the motives of men's hearts. He'll show us what the motives are. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. We're not to judge by motives. Judge nothing before the appointed time. Jesus will expose the motives when he comes. So there you are. Here's four things that this commandment definitely means. It means don't judge on the basis of a single testimony. Don't judge on the basis of your own prejudices. Don't judge by appearances. And don't judge, or don't think that you can judge other people's motives. Jesus will come. The appointed day will be when he will expose the motives of men's hearts. I have to say, that should make me and it should make each of us tremble. Because when I read this commandment now and I think about what I've just said and what I've just preached to you, I know that I am guilty of judging on the basis of a single testimony. I know I'm guilty of thinking I can judge people's motives. I know I'm guilty of judging people by the way they look. And I know I'm guilty of judging by my own prejudices. And so this teaching of Jesus really should make me conscious of my need of mercy. When I read this command, it should make me feel what we felt in the psalm as we sang it there. Lord, I come to you out of the depths of my failure to keep this, just this one little commandment. Judge not. James, as we read in chapter 2, he goes on to say this. He says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's what he says. Judgment without mercy will be shown to those who have not been merciful. And when we judge, we're not being merciful. When we think that our prejudices are sufficient ground for passing judgment on others, when we think that we can look at someone's appearance and condemn them on that basis, when we think that just because someone has brought a juicy little bit of news about someone else, we can condemn that someone else on the basis of that one testimony. When we think that we can see the motives of people's hearts, or guess the motives, and pass judgment on that basis, we're not being merciful. We're judging. And we need mercy from God. So there are good reasons for what Jesus says here. Do not judge. Back to James again. This time James chapter 4. James says, don't slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law of God, and judges it. When you judge the law, you're really in trouble, says James. You're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. Imagine sitting in judgment on God's law. There is only one lawgiver and judge, says James, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, says James, who are you to judge your neighbor? So he says it's not just a little matter when you judge, when you pass judgment on someone. And we all do it. Because when you do that, you're passing judgment on the law. But how are we passing judgment on the law? Well, because the law says do not judge. The law says love your neighbor. So if you're judging, you're not loving your neighbor. You're not being merciful. And you're saying that it doesn't matter that Jesus commanded you to not judge. So you're saying these commands don't matter. You can judge. But Jesus says you can't judge. He says you've got to love your neighbor. But you're saying when you judge these commandments, I can set them aside. In other words, you're sitting in judgment over these commandments. You're judging the judge. You're judging God when you judge your brother. That's what James is saying. We're putting our judgments above God, and we're really saying he's got it wrong. When we judge someone, it's that serious. So judging has got to stop. It's got to stop with us. People out in the community will go on judging, but we know better. Jesus said, do not judge. Do not condemn. Show mercy. Let mercy triumph over judgment. The judge is coming. The one who knows the motives of men's hearts. The judge who is able to save and destroy, as we just read. He's coming. And he can see our motives. He will find us out. He will know what we've been doing. And so, this teaching really makes us all surely recognize and become aware of our need for mercy ourselves. Please don't judge me, God. Even on this one commandment, if that's the only commandment you were to judge me on, I'd be in eternal trouble because I judge people. And I've got to stop it. I've got to stop judging on the basis of one testimony. And on the basis of my prejudices, and on the basis of their appearance, or what I think I know about their motives, I've got to stop it. I've got to be merciful. That's a big challenge. And it's a big challenge to Christians who think that because they're Christians, they know better than others, and they can go around passing judgment. Well, no. If we really know better than others, then we'll know that we can't pass judgment at all. Because Jesus forbids it. We have no right to do it. And what we need instead is to take hold of the cloak of Jesus, as it were, and ask for his mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Please, please do not judge me on the basis of my judging of others. Please, it says, do not judge or you will be judged. Please, Lord. Please, show mercy to me. For if you mark my iniquity, who can stand but with you? And there is forgiveness. Therefore you're feared. Let's bow in prayer for a moment together. Lord, we thank you that judgment belongs to you. Because you are able to judge without prejudice. You're able to go beyond the appearances and beyond the human testimonies to the truth. And you can see the motives. And we thank you, Lord, that you can judge righteously and justly and truly. And we confess before you, Lord, that you see that we have judged when we had no right to do so. And we've judged on the wrong basis. And we ask, living God, for your forgiveness for this. As you've exposed us tonight, we come afresh for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that there is mercy with you. And we pray that we may bathe in that mercy, that we may take a bath in it, be washed in it, be cleansed in it, become pure and clean and holy and delightful in it, Lord. Rejoicing in that sense of inner purging and well-being that has taken place because of the forgiveness that you give in Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers now, we ask, and help us in the week ahead to take this simple command to heart, and may it make a profound difference in our lives. And so may we be people with whom it is easier to get on, people whose company is a delight, for Jesus' sake.